Yeah, my name is Art Sterrett. I've been active in land use planning, marine use planning, and economic development on the coast of British Columbia for about the last 15 years. In particular, an area known as the Great Bear Rainforest is an area that I spent many, many years championing on behalf of all coastal First Nations. And more recently, I was engaged in a court case, which is intended to address the issue of the Northern Gateway Pipeline and tankers on the coast, north coast of British Columbia. And the reason for that was to make sure that we protect what we have in the area, the amazing land use plans and marine use plans and economic development initiatives that we've created in the area.
Not a couple of days ago, we heard the final ruling. The province was found to be in breach of the Crown, because normally the assessment for the program is supposed to be done by the province, in which case they would have to get consent and work alongside your communities there, First Nations communities. And in this case, they had not done that. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, what British Columbia failed to do was to consult and accommodate First Nations with regard to the decision around Northern Gateway. And what they did do is they entered into what's called an equivalency agreement, right, whereby they say that the environmental assessment that's done by the National Energy Board is equivalent to one that they would do. So in saying that, they're saying if you do that, then we will recognize your decision because we think it's equivalent to what we do. We took exception to that as the Gitgat Nation, because British Columbia and Canada do not have an equivalent agreement. In
right.
fact, BC has more stringent environmental conditions. In fact, they laid out five conditions for Northern Gateway, informed the National Energy Board that they shouldn't approve the project, but just left it at that. But in fact, when they were informing the National Energy Board that they didn't approve the project, that they felt that Northern Gateway or Enbridge had not met their conditions, they actually had the opportunity to remove themselves from the equivalency agreement and decide whether or not to sign off on an environmental certificate or assessment of British Columbians' own making. And they didn't do that. So on one side, they were speaking against it, saying don't approve. On the other side, they themselves could have rejected the presentation that was made by Northern Gateway. And that just didn't sit right with the Gitgat.
Right, absolutely.
Because this is a little bit of double talk. You can't tongue-in-cheek say, we reject this, you haven't met our conditions, but at the same time, you begin signing off on certificates to allow Northern Gateway to do work to build the pipeline and just leave it all in the hands of Canada. So this court case was very, very important in that it shone a very clear light on the powers that British Columbia has with regard to inter-provincial pipelines. And in fact, a very, very important precedent even for other provinces who may have felt that the federal government had the ultimate power when it comes to interprovincial pipelines, when in fact they don't. The Supreme Court of British Columbia has said they don't.
Several petitions were brought forward. Several groups opposed the pipeline. Did the National Energy Board ever reach out? You said there's some double speak there. Did they ever make any deliberate attempts to reach out to rectify the situation, to work and come to some sort of compromise?
Well, this court case was not against the National Energy Board,
right,
or against Canada. There's 17 or 18 different court cases that are taking Canada to court over the same issue. But GitGat thought, okay, there's enough people in that room, although they are in that room as well. They're taking them to court on that right. issue as well. But they thought the provincial government has a responsibility in this. The provincial government has said quite clearly that they're opposed to this. In fact, last week, prior to this announcement, this court decision, British Columbia even said that they're against the Kinder Morgan pipeline project because it hasn't met their condition.
Right.
Well, they have the opportunity to actually make a decision on it. They don't have to leave that with the federal government. And that's why this court case is so important. British Columbia has a lawful obligation to consult and accommodate First Nations concerns.
Yes.
And our concerns were the same as theirs, in large part. Not wholly, but in large part, they were the same as theirs. We were concerned that there's no cleanup technology to clean up an oil spill in the ocean.
Yeah.
And until there is, GitGat, who is right at the front line of any tanker traffic coming out of Kitimat, is going to do everything in their power to try and stop these projects, and that's what this is all about.
Right. Like you said, this ruling is a big deal. It sets a precedent. And do you think that it will be heard across Canada to other groups possibly who are trying to become mobilized against projects that they don't necessarily agree with in part or in whole? What is your thoughts on its impact across Canada?
Well, I think, you know, certainly First Nations across Canada are paying attention to this, so it becomes another tool in their toolbox. But British Columbia has, you know, four or five different tar sands pipelines that are proposed to cross our province,
right,
which endanger, you know, our major waterways, the Mackenzie, the Fraser, the Skeena, the Nass River. I mean, these are all major, major salmon-bearing streams that are being put in danger. And then at the end of all of that, they all end up in the ocean out in the North Coast, where, you know, one spill, if that spill was the size of the spill of the Exxon Valdez some 26 odd years ago, it would literally cover the whole coast of British
right.
Columbia.
Devastating. Yes.
That was the size of that spill. Now, you have to know that these tankers that are being proposed for Kitimat, for Prince Rupert, for different areas, are actually far, far larger than the Exxon Valdez. So the danger is even greater than it was in past times.
When a project is brought forth, perhaps prior to a project such as the National Gateway Pipeline, how have the what is the usual standard for the channels of communication when a project has to consult First Nations?
Well, there's not been any kind of standard, and certainly if there was one, Northern Gateway hasn't met it. In fact, Northern Gateway is almost the case study for how not to consult with First Nations. If you're going to seek approval from First Nations for any projects, you need to engage with them directly. You need to engage with them real early in the project. You can't come along after you've decided what you're going to do and where you're going to go and how you're going to impact First Nations and come along and say to a First Nations, okay, here it is. This is our project. We're going to do it this way. Well, what do you think? We tell them that they're opposed, and they say, okay, that's fine. Now we know you're opposed, but we're going ahead with the project anyway.
Right.
And that's largely what has happened with Northern Gateway.
Right.
Almost, and that is true all through British Columbia and a lot of Alberta.
So far, people are saying the project is all but dead in official terms. They're saying that they do have the federal go-ahead, quote-unquote, but in your opinion, do you think that this is the end for this particular project, or do you think they have any sort of recourse? Because I know that the current ruling, they are reviewing it, the Supreme Court is reviewing it. Do you think that this could come back in the future, and in what sort of power?
Well, the Supreme Court won't be reviewing it. This is a Supreme Court of British Columbia decision. I'm sure British Columbia is reviewing it.
Right.
You know, they have the option of appealing it or not. We think we've done them a big favor. We think that we have put a court case out there that describes very clearly what British Columbia's power is. And we think that's a good thing.
Right, yes.
Particularly in light of the fact that British Columbia has opposed Northern Gateway. And more recently, they've opposed Kinder Morgan. This gives them the opportunity to act on their opposition and to impose the very stringent environmental conditions that British Columbia has. British Columbia also has much greater oversight once projects are approved to make sure that things are done properly and protected into the future. So I wouldn't expect that British Columbia would oppose something that gives them greater power.
Right.
However, you never know. You never know if they want to continue to duck their responsibility, then I guess we'll end up going to a higher court. There is one mistake that is being made in this whole exercise, and that's, for example, Enbridge Northern Gateway is saying, well, this court case doesn't matter. The National Energy Board has the power here. Well, that's not true, and it's not true because the Supreme Court of British Columbia said it's not true. Now, we've been saying this now since 2013. This didn't just start yesterday. The Coastal First Nations and the Gitgat Nation in particular said to British Columbia back then, look, you need to take back your power. You can't just delegate it without discussing that with us. And so we have now brought a lot of clarity to this issue and I think empowered British Columbia with regard to these processes and empowered them in terms of their ability to negotiate with industry.